Welcome to another episode of Chats with Clark. Here at Chats with Clark, we get straight to the point. And as your host, Joe Clark, I want to welcome our point today, which is my dear friend, Vinny Camma. Vinny and I go way back from our grade school days all the way through now, having graduated college. So Vinny, it's a pleasure to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Like you said, we've known each other for, I was trying to do the math earlier today. I think it's going to be about 15, 16 years that you and I have known each other. And 12 of those years we were at the same schools. So it suffice to say that even after all this time, Joe and I have not gotten tired of each other.
Yeah, that's true enough. It's amazing. I mean, high school, grade school, all of those years of just growing from like little peewees up until like not so little peewees, but still peewees. and then here we are.
You know, but poor excuses for adults.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's surely hope not. But Vinny, so you had mentioned to me that like you had this desire to talk about incorporating your passion into your life. Tell us a little bit about what you do and then maybe tell us a little bit about your passions. Let's just get a little bit of a feel for who you are.
So day to day, day in, day out, I am the visual media specialist at State Industrial Products in Mayfield, Ohio. So I sit down and I crank out a lot of video content. I'm in charge of our YouTube channel. And, you know, I spend my day creating. I create things from the ground up and I like to see and hear, you know, the fruits of my labor and like the effort that I put into things. I like to see that go out in the world. And I know that the stuff that I make gets used in all sorts of different aspects of our business. And to have people come up to me and say, hey, you know, I like that video that you made, you know, it's really cool. And then there's another comment that I get from time to time that I love. This is my favorite comment. Hey man, I really like the music that you picked for that video, which is awesome because as we were talking about passion, music is hands down my passion. You know, I eat, breathe, sleep, you know, think music all day long. And my favorite part of making any video is when I get to sit down and say, all right, knocked all of the visual part out. Let's listen to some tunes and figure out what the vibe is for it.
That's awesome.
And you know, I'll do everything from like jazz to Motown to rock to classical to like this, you know, marching band. And it's fun because some products you're like, oh, clearly this has like a jazz blues vibe to it, or this thing totally has to be rock and roll. And I asked somebody else at work the other day, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like when I say like, oh, this product totally has like a music vibe to it. And they're like, no, like I have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, all right, I guess it's just me.
Yeah. You've got the special mind for it. They knew that when they hired you.
I suppose. So, you know, that's what I do. And that's my career. And music, as much as it is my passion, as I've said many times before, I don't have this grand illusion that I'm going to quote unquote, make it as a musician. And, you know, in terms of making it, you know, people, you know, when do you really make it? It's making it isn't, you know, because somebody might say, oh, well, you know, you release an album and wow, man, you've made it. Or, you know, your album's number one, man, you've made it. Or this song won a Grammy, man, you've made it. Or, you know, you're inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, dude, you made it. Because, you know, like, in any of those stages, somebody could say, man, you totally made it. So this idea of making it is, I don't want to say it's BS, but it's not, it, you know, it's, it varies from person to person. And
for sure.
In my view, for me, making it with my music is, am I happy with what I'm making? Am I happy with the way that my music is affecting the people that listen to it? And, you know, does listening to my own music make me feel the way I want to feel? Mm-hmm. Whether if, you know, I write a sad song and my song made me feel sad, like, believe it or not, there are like, I get a certain amount of satisfaction if, you know, I'm having a neutral day and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to listen to a sad song and be sad. And I can listen to my song and it makes me sad. Then I'm like, yo, I wrote a good song.
It was effective. Right.
Right. And so I'm like, dang man, this song really bummed me out. And then it'll be weird because like, man, this song bummed me out. Sweet, this song bummed me out. Now I'm having a great day. And I've explained that to my mom like 4 or 5 times. She goes, that makes no sense. Like, how can you get bummed out and you're so bummed out that it makes you happy? I'm like, I I can't explain it to you. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's like you're excited because your work was literally that. It was effective, just like you said. Yeah.
So, you know, I started playing music when right around the time you and I met, like six-ish years old. My parents got me a keyboard for Christmas, and they got me signed up for piano lessons. And I would go every week. And you remember Mrs. Yates?
Absolutely.
So Mrs. Yates was my first piano teacher.
Wow.
And I would go.
She's a great musician too. Side note.
She is a great musician. She's awesome. And she has a connection to Mount Union too. I can talk about that later. I ended up running into her years later when I was in the marching band at Mount Union. But nevertheless, so I'd go to these piano lessons, and you know, every week she'd assign me, and she's like, "All right, Vinny, you know, you gotta practice, and you've gotta learn, you know, you gotta learn these pieces that I'm assigning you, these little songs, and come back next week and show me what you've practiced." Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. A little kid with a 6-year-old kid with ADHD, if you want him to go home and practice something, is absolutely not what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So I would go home and my mom would be like, "All right, now you got to sit down in front of the keyboard and you got to practice." She's like, "Okay, okay." And I'd start playing my own thing. You know, I'd start monkey around on it. And my mom would be like, "That doesn't sound like what you're supposed to be practicing. That sounds like stuff that you're making up." And I go, "Because it is."
Like, yeah, good year.
Like, we're paying for the lessons. You got to practice the stuff that you've been assigned. And I just never would. And, you know, I mean, I would from time to time. If I kind of liked the song, I'd kind of practice it. But then I'd show up every week and Mrs. Yates would say again, "You know, you got to practice." And like, "I know, I got to practice." Whatever. This went on for years, dude. Years.
Oh, my gosh.
So eventually, my mom's like, "There's no point. Like, you're just going to play your own stuff. And that's fine." And that's what we did. Eventually they got me an upright piano. We still have both of those. We have the keyboard and the piano. I still play that from time to time. And, mm-hmm. you know, I skipped over a very important part. I wrote my first song when we were in second grade.
Wow.
And I wrote it. I forget what it was called, like Good Night or something like that. And I played it. I forget when I played it somewhere, something at lunch or whatever. And I was like, "Whoa, Vinny writes music." And I'm like, "Yeah, I wrote a 15 note piano song." But yeah, cool. I write music.
Prodigy, dude.
I'll tell you what, that little ditty led to basically what is like half of my identity at this point, which is writing and performing and playing music. And, you know, I took a little heat because people like to, I don't know why, but I remember people like to kind of make fun, like they would be like sarcastic and weird, and they'd almost kind of make fun of me for the music stuff. You know, like, "Oh, Cam is going to be some great musician." And it bothered me for a while, but I kind of stopped letting it get to me and
good.
Accepted it as, you know, "Hey man, if they're talking about it, they're talking about it. I don't really care. I don't really care the context they're talking about it. Even if they're talking about me, they're talking about me."
Yeah, people love to just rip on someone for doing something. Like, yeah, you're out there doing it. You know how much easier it is to just rip on someone instead of being the one that's doing it? Sure. Give me a break.
So that's fine. I channeled some of that into later songs that I would write. And it is what it is. But, you know, I played piano for years and years and years. And right about seventh grade, I was into, this is really how this went down. Me and a buddy of mine, Joe, not you, Joe, but a different Joe, Big Joe. We were really into Rock Band and we were really good at Rock Band. And I remember at the time I was like, you know, this really isn't that far off from the real thing. It is. It's horribly inaccurate as far as playing the guitar goes. For the most part, other than, you know, your hands are kind of in the right spot. And yeah, you kind of move the fingers up and down the fretboard. But, you know, you don't make chords and stuff the way that you hold a Rock Band guitar. So I went to my mom and I'm like, "Mom, I want to buy a guitar." And she's like, "Okay." I was like, "Wow, that worked. I did not expect that to work. I expected her to definitely put up more of a fight than okay." And so she took me to a place in Brunswick, Ohio called Bruno Brothers Music, which it no longer exists. And we bought my first guitar. It was a blue Lauren acoustic guitar, and brought it home. And my mom's like, all right, play.
Yeah. The world's your oyster, kid. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to play. So she signed me up for guitar lessons. And I'm sure you can see where this is going. Once I learned the chords and started figuring out how to play on my own and teach myself stuff, I wouldn't play what she would assign me.
No.
I would play my own thing. And it would annoy my mom. And this went on for, goodness, 5-ish years,
mm-hmm.
Where I would go. But, you know, the thing with Miss Perkins is that she'd be like, all right, what do you want to play?
Nice.
And I'd be like, nobody's ever asked me what I wanted to play.
Yeah.
So she would ask me what I wanted to play. I'd be like, all right, this is the song I want to work on. And she would help me with she helped me with like the guitar plan, and she would help me with the singing, and she helped make me into a better singer. Because she wasn't bent on her agenda of teaching me what she wanted. She found a way to teach me using the things that I wanted to learn. And I 100% became a much better player and a much better performer because of that teaching style.
It's tremendous. And it's great that you recognize it, you know?
Yes. No, the debt that I owe her is unreal for what she was able to do for me musically. So.
Have you ever gotten to tell her?
No.
No.
Actually, I don't think I have.
No. That'd be cool that you ever like wrote her a note or something and mailed it to her or whatever, or gave her a call.
I did that for Mrs. Yates, you know, weird enough. I did that for Mrs. Yates, and that's how we ended up reconnecting when I was at Mount. But I never wrote one to Mrs. Perkins. Probably should.
Just a thought. No worries. Yeah, I was just asking.
No, I like that idea. I think I'm going to do that when we're done here. But yeah, she introduced me to some great people too. People that I'm still friends with, people even that went to Ignatius. So like I got to meet, I don't know if you know Casey, he's a guitar player at Ignatius.
Okay. Awesome.
And, we both went to Miss Perkins for lessons, and that was that.
Yeah.
And so we ended up being in a group in high school called Rock and Roll Club, which was awesome.
Sick. That is sick. Love
Rock and Roll Club. We would meet in like the lobby of the Performing Arts Building on Mondays. And, you know, we'd have like our electric guitars, and eventually we got a drum kit, and it would be like four of us it would just be like a garage band jam session.
Dude, yeah, you're jamming out. Heck yeah.
Yeah. And then we would do stuff like when it would come to like the class competition day, we would play on the chapel steps. And, you know, that was like kind of some of my first experiences playing in a group rather than playing myself. And at the same time, I joined marching band and started, you know, it's just another outlet of my passion. Well, I was doing other things, you know, I'm in school,
but yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm pursuing my passion outside of that. You know, I'm going with my guitar and I'm performing at ice cream shops and coffee shops. And, you know, I would do the rib burn off in Strongsville, and I would do, you know, the little, you know, talent shows at Ignatius, and I was in the band, I was in Rock and Roll Club. You know, I found different ways to nurture my passion while still doing my main thing, which was school. So that continued on for a few years. And, you know, I was in a couple bands here. You know, I'd perform with a band for the rib burn off. Like I said, I'd perform with, you know, the guys from the Rock and Roll Club at class competition day. I would perform with the marching band for football games. And then finally in my senior year, I decided, hey, I want to try this high school rock off, this like battle of the bands competition that they have in Cleveland every year. So I talked to a bunch of people, and I got in with this group. I don't even remember what the name of the band was, but we ended up performing a song that I wrote at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on stage. Dude, that's so inside awesome. The Rock Hall. And I'm like, you know what? I don't like to brag about my music. Like, it makes me uncomfortable to brag.
Okay.
And like a burden when I like put my music in front of people. But that is like one of the first, like when people are like, oh, tell us a fun fact about you, I'm like, oh, I performed a piece that I wrote at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. People
yeah. Like, boom.
I know the guitars that I used when we played that song. I recorded it for my album that came out last year. And dude, I even have a distinct memory because there's a guitar solo in there that I wrote. And you know, I wrote the whole song, but you know, I wrote this guitar solo in there. And so I'm playing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and I'm going, bam, that string, that pretty much the entire solo is on, breaks. And I never get to finish the solo during an actual performance, but you can bet everything that you own that when I recorded it for the album, I played the heck out of that, that solo.
Yeah. Dude, that is so cool. What an experience. I love that you remember it too and have just a great appreciation for it.
Yeah. I don't talk to the people that I perform with though, funny enough, because there was some falling out because of, you know, drama. You get together, you know, you're in a band with a couple of high school girls and, you know, there's going to be drama. It is what it is. Oh, no ill will towards them. I just, you know.
No, of course. Yeah.
We all went our separate ways and that was that.
But that memory you cherish. So even so, like it's in there.
Well, we got knocked out in the first round. We didn't make it past the first round. We got knocked out that night. And I was not at all surprised because our drummer was 12. Could not find a drummer. So we found this kid, Alex, and we're like, dude, will you please drum for us? And he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, he was pretty good for 12. And I kept up with him over the years. And I think he's probably going into his senior-ish year now. That would have been 5-ish years ago. Yeah. So he's probably about to go into his senior high school. And I know that he has a band and they're about to start the Rock Off. So I'm really excited to, I might get tickets and go see him.
Because, heck yeah, you should, dude. He'd love that.
Dude, and so would you. Absolutely. This kid is going to be so good. But, you know, so that's what I did when I was in high school. And then things start to change when I go to college. You know, again, I'm now hyper-focused on, you know, I got to get this degree so I can get this job, because at this point I know, you know, I'm not going to be a rock star. I'm not going to be a world touring number one on the charts musician. It's just not in the cards for, you know, this many, like, you know, I know it's a podcast, so I'm going to use some hand visuals here anyways.
That's so fine.
It's really wide. We're going to take our hands really far apart. There's that many people that want to make it as musicians. Now let's bring the hands a little closer. There's that many people that are actually decent musicians. Bring them even closer. There's that many people that actually record their music and basically clap your hands. That's the people between your hands. That's the number of people that actually make it. And I knew, and I had conversations with my parents and with other people, you know, it's not that it's impossible, but the odds are it's not in the deck. That's not a card that's in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be able to go and do wonderful, awesome things with my music, but you know, once you bring your expectations a little bit towards reality and say, you know what, why am I really doing this? Why am I really writing music? Why am I really recording it? Why am I releasing it? Why am I sharing it with people? You know, and for a long time, the answer, and even to this day, the answer is I want somebody to listen to it. And I want them to feel something. You know, I want it to impact them in some way. I want them to get whatever it is that they need out of it. And when I recorded my EP, my freshman year of college, it's called In the Middle of the Night. I recorded a song on there called Brave Face. And Brave Face is about, it's about this mask that you put on in front of other people where you're pretending that everything's all right because you're like, I don't want to burden other people with the crap that I have going on inside. There's a line in there that goes, I hide it best from the people that I love the most because I don't want them to hurt like I do. And inadvertently, the person that line hit the most when I released that song was my mom. And it was a very bittersweet moment to have my mom be like so heartbroken over that line. But at the same time, I was really proud of myself because I was like, I wrote something that was real enough and that resonated enough with somebody that it actually made them feel something.
Like, yeah.
Kind of sucks that it was my mom.
Yeah. Like,
okay. And then, I had to bum my mom out. And, you know, I had to answer, you know, she was all over me for a long time. She's like, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Like, do you need to talk about something? You need to see someone? And I'm like, I promise you I'm fine. Like, it's just a song. Granted, behind most songs is a little bit of truth. You know,
sure.
You generally don't write about something you have absolutely no experience with, at least in my case. But, you know, I definitely built it up a little bit for the sake of the song. But I know that it's not like in my mind, I don't feel like I was lying. I was just telling a story that, you know, I had a part in, but it wasn't entirely my story, but, you know, the story nonetheless. And, you know, it was at that moment that I'm like, I don't need to be an award-winning, you know, multi-platinum world touring musician in order to get a sense of happiness out of this and to keep doing it. Like, I have people that want to hear my music. Like, I have friends that want to hear my music just because they like it. Not even because they're my friends, but just because, you know, they have a song. They're like, oh, dude, you know this song of yours? I really like that song. I'm like, really? You know, I have friends that tell me that they have my music on their, like, Spotify playlists. And I was at my friend's house like a couple weeks ago, and, you know, she had music going on in the background, and then she like quieted everybody down. And she goes, oh no, who's this artist? And I'm like, really? Like, Emily, that's me. And I'm like, dude, do you really have me on like your party playlist? She goes, yeah, cause I love this song. And I'm like, and you know, it wasn't her, like, it was genuine. Like, she
had no front
liked the song. And I was sitting there and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah. Like,
somebody actually likes my songs.
That's such a happy moment.
It was a very weird moment to be drinking wine and listening to yourself. it was a very strange moment.
Of course, it was wine.
I would relive it.
Absolutely.
Fun in the end, because I'm like, you know, a little bit of wine and some good tunes. You know, what can go wrong? But nevertheless, you know, that was my first foray into recording and releasing music that I'd written. All the while, I'm still doing band in college now, and I'm doing band, and I got involved with the student media organization, and that was taking up a lot of my time. Mm-hmm. And I really love student media. I still do. I'm a big fan of college journalism, big proponent of college journalism. You know, if you know somebody in college journalism, give them a high five, give them a pat on the back, because believe me, they're going through a world of hurt. college journalism is fun, but it's also absolutely brutal. So, you know, I'm going through this and I'm going through fraternity life, and, you know, life's pulling me in other directions, you know, seemingly away from music. And I write this album, I release this album, and as life's pulling me in different directions, and I take a step back from it, and I realize, you know what? I miss it. I'm not happy when I don't have something actively music involved in my life.
Sure.
So I reach out to the guy that does radio shows and I say, hey, Kyle, you know, I want to do a radio show. I want to do an acoustic show because, like, I play acoustic music. I want to do a show.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, dude, sure. Let's get you set up. And so fast forward a month after that, I aired the first episode of my acoustic show. At the time, it was called The Coffee Shop. And I think the first song that I played on the air was Bubbly by Colby Kelly.
Very love that much song. So a coffee shop vibe. Yeah.
Dude, right?
I love it too.
So I was like, she's got the perfect vibe to set up the next 4 years of acoustic music. That's what it was. So I did that for a year. I changed the show and called it The Acoustic Corner. After I took a semester off and realized that I couldn't be without this acoustic show. So I started doing that, and then I would perform. I found a way to perform at school. But again, I didn't take my eyes off grades, and I didn't let it turn into like, this is like, I'm not putting all my eggs in this basket.
Sure.
This isn't even a career thing for me. This is just a hobby. This is a passion. This is my enjoyment. And so like I said, you know, I just found ways to work it in. And, you know, I did that EP my freshman year, and it was great. And, you know, I put a lot of time into it, but it wasn't the best it could have been. It got me the recording bug, but it wasn't the best quality. And I knew that. And so I said, you know what? If I ever get to record again, I'm going to try and do better. Like, I want to do better. I want to make mm-hmm. it sound better. But, you know, I didn't have the time. I didn't really have the money or the equipment. And I just never got around to it. I didn't stop writing songs though. So I start developing this backlog of written songs that I would perform, and I'd record them on my phone and do stuff like that. But I'm like, this, I want to do something with this. I want to do something with this. Fast forward March of 2020. I am in the radio station board hopping for the baseball tournament that Mount Union's playing in Florida. Our guys call in who are calling the game, and Will asked me about, hey, has Lynn said anything about going to New York? Because a bunch of us were supposed to go to a conference in New York. And I go, she's really getting nervous about this whole coronavirus thing. And, I'm telling him, like, I think we're going to go. I just think that, we're going to have to be careful. And I didn't really think it was a big deal. So I told Will, like, all right, call me back in, a half hour when you guys are ready to start the game, and we'll put you on the air, We'll do what we've been doing the last couple of days. I'm off the phone for like 5 minutes, and Lynn walks in. Lynn's our station manager. And she's like, hey, we're not going to New York. Like, this thing's blowing up. It's going to be like, this is going to be bad. And she's like, and so we're like, the university's probably going to send you guys an email later today telling you that everybody has to go home.
Dang.
And I'm sitting here knowing that at least for the foreseeable future, this could be one of the last broadcasts that I do. And I text Will and I go, Will, Bill, because it was Will and Bill that were down there that were doing it. I'm like, guys, I wanted you to hear this from me. Because at the time I was the program director. I wasn't the general manager. I was the program director. So I was in charge of everything radio. And I tell him, like, listen, this might be your guys' last broadcast ever. And immediately Bill calls me, he goes, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on? What are you, like, what's the deal? Cause Bill's a senior and, he's got other things that he wants to broadcast. And
heck yeah.
At the time Mount Union was making a deep, deep run in the Division III NCAA basketball tournament. Like, it was legendary. It was amazing. And I call Bill and I'm like, you guys aren't going to make it up in time for the next game before they're going to cancel the tournament. They're going to send everybody home from school. Like, the whole world is grinding to a halt because of this corona thing. And Bill was just quiet. He was quiet and he hung up the phone. And he didn't even say anything. He just, you hear that click. And, then sure enough, I get, like, 5 minutes later, I get the Skype call. I put him on the air and you could tell in his voice. He's like, hey, this is Billy Beebe, probably for the last time for the Mount Union Purple Raiders. And I'm like, oh, just absolutely
gut-wrenching.
Oh, I'm just like, this poor guy has worked so hard over the last 4 years. And instead of going out with a whimper or calling a championship basketball game, which it was looking like he was going to get to do, he's going to call some 7-inning Florida baseball warm-up tournament game. And I got to hand it to Bill. Bill called a heck of a game. I mean, you talk about leaving it all mm-hmm. out there on the field. But Bill called one of the best baseball games I've ever heard, including some of the games that I've heard Tom Hamilton from the Cleveland Indians call.
Yeah, who's a legend.
Absolute legend. I love listening to Hamilton call games. Mm-hmm. But, I remember that. And he was like, possibly for the last time. And I was it destroyed me. So anyways, pack everything up, move home. Nobody knows what the heck Zoom is. And everybody's emailing back and forth. Hey, we're going to be doing classes on Zoom. We're going to be meeting on Zoom. And I'm like, what the heck is Zoom?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What is this thing I've never heard of? So that all goes down and I'm here for about a month. here at home for about a month and I'm getting bored, man. I'm like, I got nothing to do. I can't go see my friend. I can't go see my girlfriend. You know, everybody's scared. Nobody knows what's going on. And
everyone was itching for a little bit of identity for sure.
Everybody, you know, people are making bread. People are figuring out how to grow their own fruit.
Right.
You know, you got this guy over here who goes, dude, I made homemade toilet paper because there was no toilet paper. This guy over here is making hand sanitizer. These people are learning a new language. And I'm like, all, you know, all these people have in common is what we all have in common at the time. Time. Everybody's got time. And I realized I've got the equipment to record my own music. I've got the songs written. And now I've got the time.
The trifecta.
And I remember I didn't even like make a big announcement. I'm going to record an album. I just go, I'm going to go bring my stuff down to the basement because, you know, I got space down here and I'm just going to mess around because I want something to do one day. I was bored.
Right.
Oh my God.
And the curiosity within you that you keep like is showing up in your story.
It was right there at the surface that I was like, I got to do something. I got to do something because I finally can. And so I start recording a couple of the songs and recorded a couple more of the songs. And eventually I'm like, I got like 14 songs here. I know albums that are shorter than that. I can make an album. And I texted Alyssa. I'm like, I think I'm going to make an album. She goes, really? And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to record it myself. I'm going to do it. And she goes, good for you. And I spent at it for months and I worked at it for months. And along the way, I want to back up here. You know, those first couple of years of college, when I was working with Raider Student Media, I developed a video series called Raider Record Room, where we would bring in musicians that came to Mount Union, and we would bring them in, sit them down for an interview, and then they'd perform a little bit. And, you know, through that, I ended up with contact information for these, you know, regional touring musicians. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't, you know, Grammy winning, you know, multi-platinum number one hit artists, but you know, these are some talented people and, you know, they're approachable and they're willing to talk to you like as a person and just be like, hey, you know, you're a cool person. I'm also a cool person. Let's just like be friends.
Very nice. Yeah.
So through that and going to concerts, I went to a ton of concerts. And, you know, I would meet, you know, I'd go to these smaller concerts that are more intimate because, you know, I like these bands that just don't have as big of a following. And I'd meet these people. I'd meet some of my heroes. And, you know, these are people that I could just reach out to. And because they're not terribly famous, they respond. And so I developed through the radio shows and through the concerts, I developed this little network of musicians that kind of guided me through the music making process. And all the while I'm the guy doing the grocery shopping and the errands for my family, because, you know, I'm the young one, I'm the healthy one. So I should be the one that goes out in the world. At the time, that was the thinking. And I'm still in school and I've got these, you know, I've got a photography project over here and a papers I got to write over here for philosophy. But all the while, you know, like 9 o'clock at night, I shut the basement door. I come down here and for hours I would work on music till like 2-3 in the morning. And, you know, I just kept doing it to the point of frustration, even beyond the point of frustration, because I loved it. Like, it would drive me up a wall how many times I have to record something, but I loved it. And I found a way to make it work. And on August 21st, 2020, I released my first full-length album, The Hurt. And 10 days from today. And I was sitting in the presence of a bunch of my friends at school and it hit midnight. And I remember it got really quiet for a second. And my buddy Jason comes across the room, grabs me by my shoulders, and he goes, dude, you just released an album. And I'm like, dude, I just released an album. Like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get people that are reaching out to me over the next couple of days. Dude, I listened to your album. It sounds so good. Dude, I love this song. I love this line. And all of a sudden there's these people, some people that I hadn't talked to in like years that I'd never talked to, like, you know, that I'd known way back in the day. And, you know, they never gave me that time of day. And all of a sudden these people reaching out and saying, hey man, I listened to this song off your album. And like, it really resonated with me. And I really appreciate your music. And it was just a reinforced, it reinforced my belief that this isn't a career path. This is a passion and I'm getting what I want out of it. And it makes me happy. So I'm content with wherever it goes. I'm not, you know, if something blows up and all of a sudden I'm a famous musician, that'd be awesome. It's right. Probably not going to happen. It's probably not in the cards. But am I happy with the way it's making me feel, the way it's making my friends feel, the way it's making my family feel, you know, and is it doing that? And since then the answer has been a resounding yes. Like the people that listen to it, they like it. And that's enough for me. I don't need Absolutely. The awards. I don't even need the sales, dude. I haven't checked my sales in probably months. Cause as a side note, people don't realize how terribly Spotify pays artists, but that's just a whole different story. I make a fifth of a penny for one stream of one of my songs.
Wow.
One fifth of a penny. So if you really want to help me out, stream one of my songs five times so I can get a full penny.
Yeah.
So
man.
Regardless. And that's just, that's the United States, you know, that's the other part of it, by the way, as I get these reports every month that tell me, you know, hey, this is what you made this month. And here's where your music got to. You know, I don't know anybody in Germany, India, Indonesia, Somalia, China, Russia, the UK, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Chile. These are countries where my music is reached, dude. Somebody's like, somebody hit click, somebody hit play, somebody I will never, ever meet. And apparently what they saw from my music was enough to make them want to hear it. And it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind because
it's beautiful.
I put no effort into marketing this album here, let alone overseas. It just got there on its own. You know, it's kind of living this life of its own and its own little world. And I'm just here watching it grow up and kind of watching it do its own thing. So
you love that process. Like, that's what I love about like your story and your joy with it is that you've loved going down to your basement at 9 o'clock. And you know, when it was 2 o'clock and you've recorded the same couple chords about 1,000 times, you still loved it at 1,001, that 1,002 times.
And tell that's, you what, that's I got awesome. Out a thousand yeah. with 1,000 takes on a song, man, I was lucky.
See, there you go. And that's me underselling.
It was brutal. I think I had to clear my laptop 3 or 4 times just from the mistake tracks that built up, because those get to be pretty big files. But
sure.
You know, that's just I kept going back at it. My dad would be like, why are you going back down there? You're just gonna get frustrated. I'm like, yeah, but I love it.
It's my favorite, so I'm going back now.
Yeah. I know I'm going to get frustrated. That's kind of the point.
Like, I want to be. It's the best frustration because I love this.
If I don't get frustrated, that means I grew complacent, I guess, is a way of looking at it.
And, yeah, that's true. Which is dangerous. You know, there's no aspiring in that. Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, if I'm frustrated, that means I know that it can be better. And at the point where I'm no longer frustrated with it, I know that either I grew complacent or, hey, I might've got it right.
Yeah. Either way, there's something that like catalyzes more action, which is cool. Cause if you got it right, you're going on to the next thing. And if you realize that you're being complacent about something and not where you want it to be, then you know, all right, well, I know this is exactly what I need to work on.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So.
And Vinny, so like throughout all of this music too, you've been in countless different realms, you know, like you started off in the keys and of course in the marching band. I mean, those are different, the guitar, different, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, different, all of these kind of venues, the chapel at Ignatius on the steps outside there. I remember that field, that was awesome. But all these things have been different, but one thing that is so centralized to it is just this notion of creating. Like you are a creator. You at your job every day, you're creating. And then when you go home, you're creating. And then it sounds like in all of these things, you recognize that, right? Like, you know, that's kind of your cup of tea, your skill, it's one way it's a passion in music, but in other ways you mentioned that the work that you do each day is your career, but it all stems from that creative aspect of you, that curiosity, that zeal to do things.
I mean, for me, time's really important to me. Mm-hmm. So when I put my time into something, I want to see it. I want to see the effort that my time that I put my time towards, I want to see that actually, you know, I want to see it in front of me, or I want to hear it. And so that's what drives me to create, is because, you know, we're only here for so long. So I want to leave something behind, or in my case, a lot of different things behind.
Yeah, right.
Something will take.
I get that. I mean, that's half my joy with this podcast, that I'm like, you know what? Like, this is cool. Like this is something that you get to take with you too. And like, your family's going to listen to it. My family's going to listen to it. And, you know, our friends and everything. That's awesome, because it's an outreach. You know, people, if someone takes anything from anything, even if it's just you and me, like that's a gift. That's another person that's touched. And that's pretty cool. That's really cool, actually.
You know, if you think about it, between the two of us, like, eventually we're going to have families. We're going to grow old. We're going to have kids. We're going to have grandkids. Assume Google's still probably going to be around, and you know, then these kids is going to look us up, and they'd be like, holy crap, grandpa was like a recording musician. You know, grandpa had a podcast, dude, that's so cool. And you know, years and years and years down the line, even after I'm long gone, I figure that the best chance my music has to ever see any significant financial gain is that somebody violates the copyright long after I'm dead and thinks they're going to get away with it. And my family and one of my ancestors way down the line says, nope, hits them with a lawsuit, makes them live comfortably. Hey man, what do I care at that point?
Yeah, I love the, see, again, you have the creative thinking there in your head. You're just like, watch this. This is how it's going to go down.
It's all that kind of thing happens a little more than people realize. So I figure eventually somebody's going to slip up and think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Hamels will be right there.
They'll be waiting. Oh my God. That's funny, Vinny.
It'll be a gift from your great, great, great grandfather, Vinny Hamel, who was thinking ahead when he wrote those songs.
Yeah. Yeah. The intuition, the foresight.
Yeah.
Dude. So do you ever think about why, or do you ever think about that connection, like the creative aspect between the music and of course your job every day? Do you find that there are different things that you do in your job that you can incorporate into maybe your passion of music, or vice versa, in your passion you then incorporate into the day-to-day at work when you're creating these these videos and all that?
You know, I don't get to work with actual shooting video as much as I would like to, which is funny to say, because I'm going out tomorrow and doing a shoot at an actual business that actually uses one of our products. So, you know, it is what it is, but you know, I really don't get to do it as much. And mm-hmm. I think that once I start to be able to actually shoot video more, like that's where the correlation is, because that's literally me making different creative choices. How am I going to shoot this? What angle am I going to shoot this at? What, you know, what kind of lighting am I going to use? Am I going to use any kind of movement? And it's all the same as kind of chords am I going to use? What kind of drum beat am I going to use? Where, you know, what key is this going to be in? How am I going to work this stuff into the background? And where the lyrics fit in? You know, what are my lyrics? How do I sing them? What are the words? And all of those different decisions, and like nothing is inconsequential, whether it's from video editing to music to, you know, painting. Everything is done with intention and everything is done with a purpose. You know, you don't just say, you know, I'll just throw this picture. I'll just throw this picture of a tree in here. You know, the product is, I don't know, industrial brake cleaner, but you know, I'll throw a tree in here just cause. No, everything I put in that video serves a purpose. It's there for a reason. Everything I put in my songs serves a purpose. It's there for a reason. And you know, sometimes those reasons are very clear and very obvious. You know, for a song called Chaos, I put a thunderstorm in the background because, you know, what's better than nature's version of chaos?
Sure.
But
nature's own drum, right?
Yeah, nature's own drum. Man, I remember I was sitting over here and I heard this storm going on and I popped open the window and I like looped three chords together and I got a microphone all the way over to the window and then I hit record and I'm just sitting there with my headphones on. I'm like, this is so cool.
This is perfect. That's exactly what I needed.
This is what I didn't know I needed, but I love it.
Yeah.
And, but like I said, you know, everything that I do when I create, it's done with intention. And that carries over between both the videos and the music. And
yeah,
you know, for one of the things that I have not gotten to do yet that I really want to do one day is combine the two of them. I want to shoot my own music video. But again, I guess I'm going to need another pandemic because I just don't have the time.
Yeah. You're going to find the time too when you do. But sure. Even though it's not right now, you know, you want to do it and when the time comes, you'll capitalize on it. Just like with your album, like
whatever, you know, if I have to take a week off of work at some point in the next couple of years and say, you know what, this is when I'm doing it. Then that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
When Alyssa says, I thought we were going to use that week for a vacation, I'll be like, this is my vacation.
Yeah. You'll be like, enjoy.
We can go, like, you go take a vacation, you go do, you know, go to the beach, have fun.
Yeah, you're like, I'll just stay in a hotel and create my music video. Thanks.
Right.
Benny, what parts of like every day is it that bring you the joy? Because it's nice to know that you have your passion waiting for you at home, but how do you go in and spend, like, because the majority of the time is probably spent at work, like take out sleep, then the active days are usually mostly at work, and then it's like less of the time is at home, you know? So how do you find the joy in those day-to-days?
Family, friends, and Alyssa. Family, friends, and girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, I just got done telling somebody else, we're not meant to go through this life by ourselves. We're really not, you know, the expression is no man is an island, you know, no person is an island, but you know, the expression is no man is an island because you're not meant to be by yourself. You're not meant to go through this life alone. So I guess my whole thing is, you know, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to prioritize spending time with my family. Because family is the rock that everything for me has been built on. You know, you foster that fantastic base of people that love you unconditionally. And it's only up from there. And then you have friends, you know, friends enrich your life. You know, they're there for you. And so sometimes in ways that just like family is, sometimes in ways that family can't be. You know, your friends, you make amazing memories with, and you know, they're the people that you choose to be around when you don't have to be around anybody else, but you're like, you know what? I want to be around other people. And these are the people I choose.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you find a significant other. For me, it's Alyssa. She's, you know, some people get in a relationship and they're like, it's all hunky dory and it's perfect and it's fantastic all the time. Ooh, nah. Whatever. Yeah, that's not, you know, I don't want to say that goes away, but, you know, eventually the real work kicks in. And, you know, that's for me, you know, I have a relationship that I've worked at, that her and I have worked at for next month will be 6 years.
Gosh, I was thinking about that. I'm like, it has to be like north of five. So
yeah, we're getting up there.
Grass broke.
I know, and there's people that have been there. I know, you know, people are like, oh, people have been married for 35, 40, 50, 60 years. You know, 6 years, 6 years, nothing. Yeah. Well, 6 years of my life is at least a quarter of my life. So
exactly. And at hey, everyone point, started with the first 6 years. All those people, they had right. the first 6 years. So,
right. So, you know, you find somebody that you're good for, that's good for you, that wants to see that, that loves you for who you are, and but also wants to see you, you know, be a better person, you know,
make yeah, yourself yeah, true
that. Continue to grow. Somebody that'll grow with you, somebody that pushes your boundaries and pushes you to, you know, be a better person. That's what I found with Alyssa. And, you know, even through all the difficult and tough times, I'm still happy she's there.
Heck yeah, dude. That's beautiful, bro. I'm happy for you. That's all one could really ask for. That's what it sounds like.
So I guess, so yeah, to answer your question, family, friends, and significant other.
Yeah. Always with the people.
You find happiness.
That you get that, like, you can get that at work because, you know, you can take a couple minutes, just give Alyssa a call, take a couple minutes, text your dad, take a couple minutes, text your mom, your brother, every, you know, anyone, your friends, which is cool. Like, we all know it takes like 13 seconds to pop into your friend group message and say, if everyone's talking about, you know, whatever, who cares, anything like this new restaurant they tried out, like you can pop in there and it'll take you 13 seconds to read it and text your response. That's kind of cool. That's so you have cool. those. Yeah. You have those people with you throughout all the days, throughout your career at work, and then throughout your passion, and then of course with your music too. It's literally full circle.
You know what it is, Joe? It's love. I've boiled that, you know, my philosophy behind life has been boiled down to this idea that if you show love and you put love into everything that you do, you're just destined to be a happy person. Because amen. When amen. You show other people love, they're bound to show you love back. Not everybody does. Some people are jerks. You show them love and they're like, you know, go rot. But, you know, for the most part, show love to the people and they show love to you. Show love to your family and they show love to you. Show love to your dog. Dog shows love to you. There's no unconditional love like a dog's love. I will say that without question. You know, a dog's love is the most unconditional thing out there. But, you know, then you put love into the things that you do and the people that you spend your time with, and it just makes you a happy guy.
It does. It does. That's awesome. It's really wise of you, Vinny, especially at our ripe age here. So
it's wasn't an easy path getting to that realization. Love isn't always easy, man. I sometimes you got to show love to people that you're like, I absolutely hate this person. Nevertheless, you show them love, it'll still make you a happier person.
True. And you
can never, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it.
No, I get all.
But, you know, that's kind of what I try to guide my life by, and it hasn't failed me yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we both have our Catholic background. So that's in tune with how we were raised, man. You treat other people like you want to be treated. It's that golden rule, bro.
There is some truth. There is some truth to that old Catholic teaching. I'll tell you what. there are some things that they definitely got right.
You aren't kidding. You aren't kidding. Yeah. And that's, I think that's one of them, is to show love to people and to act out of love. Like you said, you know, it really, something I think that's cool about that is that it brings, you're bringing your best self. Like your best self isn't rocking that dude in the jaw that you can't stand. Like your best self is being calm, being just easy to work with, easy to handle. Because if you rock that dude in the jaw, it's not your best self. And then they're going to bring out not their best self to you. And it's just this, again, ongoing thing that just keeps going, because it started with someone not being, in this case, you, brave enough to show love.
Yeah. So that's where it stems from for me. You know, there's two sayings that I live my life by. One, my dad would say this to me every time that he would drive me to St. Joseph and John and drop me off. And, you know, he would tell me when I would leave, you know, most days when I would leave for school when I was at Ignatius. You know, three rules of life: do the right thing, respect other people, and try hard. I carry that with me every day, mostly because my dad mercilessly ingrained it into my brain every single day. But yeah, they're good rules, and they really lead you to living a happier, fulfilling life. In the second rule that I live by, so I was really close with my mom's dad, my grandfather. He passed away back in 2012, and I wear his dog tag nearly every day. And on the back of his Valparaiso Technical Institute student ID, when he went to ask my grandmother's dad's permission to ask her to marry him, he took the ID and he wrote on the back, and this is what it says: "There is but one rule of conduct for a man, to do the right thing. Though the cost may be dear in money, in friends, in influence, in a prolonged and painful sacrifice, the cost of not doing the right thing is far more dear. You barter the integrity of your manhood, and for a timely gain, you barter the infinite."
Wow. That's amazing, Vinny.
Hey, they're not my words, but
were they his, or was that another
saying? They were my great grandfather's. Yes.
Okay, so his dad's.
So her dad, my grandmother's. Yeah.
Yeah, you're okay. I always.
It's complicated. Once you get it, it makes sense. But to explain it with all the different people involved, it's a little confusing.
So it's your grandpa's words or your grandpa's dad's?
My grandma's dad's. That he wrote
Got on the back
of my grandpa's student ID.
On it. Okay, yeah, sorry. On it.
There we go. No, you're good.
Dude, wait, but that's beautiful. It's profound, too. I mean, it's got all of the aspects that it encompasses everything.
It does. It encompasses everything. It's a beautiful guide to life. And at some point in the future, the card, he carried that card with him until the day he died. It was in his wallet. He carried it with him until the day he died. One day, that card is going to be in my possession, and I will carry that thing with me until the day I die.
Yeah.
And even until the ink is worn off the words, even the ink has been worn off the paper. I mean, there's going to be certain, I already don't even need the ink. I remember what it says.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to rewrite it for the next guy, but
Sure. But still, that's awesome, dude. Yeah, carry that with you. That, man, that's awesome. That's a really good one to live your life by too. Your dad, and then of course that card, the words on that card from your grandfather. Those are some good ones. You have some hitters right there for life advice.
Hey man, having some good rules early on really benefits you.
It does. It's a guiding force.
Tell you what, I'll just pass that stuff on when it's time for me to give advice, and I don't really have to do any of the legwork. I just pass on what worked for me, and it'll work for the next guy.
Yeah, it should, at the least. You know, it's something I usually always ask people for kind of their advice when they hop on the show. I always ask them for their closing advice or some advice that they'd give to other generations, and I'm happy that you really took the initiative and touched on it. Something else I always am curious, or I contend with, is that people who live gratefully, like, that's my big thing, is that, like, you push for love, like I push for gratitude, and just my thing. It's one of my passions, right? And I think people that live gratefully tend to be happier, to be most productive with their lives, meaning happy, meaning joyful, meaning influencing others, meaning all of those good things, meaning acting out of love. Do you find that gratitude plays a pivotal role in your life? And what does it kind of look like for you?
Again, I'm gonna bring it back to no man's an island. Can't do everything on your own. And, people stop doing things for you if you're not grateful. So I don't want to look at it in like a utilitarian sense of, if you're not grateful, then people won't do things for you that you can be grateful for. But, you think about it, not a single person that does anything for you has to do that. They can make a choice to not do that thing for you, to not show you kindness, to not go out of their way to help you. Everybody who's ever helped you has made a conscious choice to do the infinitely easier thing of not helping you.
Mm-hmm.
So why not tell them thank you? Why not show them that, you know, you appreciate the things that they, that the things that they're doing for you, you know? And for some people, it's big things, you know, they go out of the way, they make big gestures. For other people, you know, it's, you know, it's my mom make, my mom makes dinner for us. You know, she doesn't have to do that. She could let us fend for ourselves every single day. You know what? Honestly, nobody would blame her because she works every, she works all day and then she takes care of her family. And it's a choice. It's a day in, day out, constant choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think to not be grateful of the people that go out of their way to enrich your life. There's no, you know, you saying thanks is a fraction of what somebody else did for you.
True enough. True enough. Yeah. And it does tie right into your love and like that idea of acting out of love, because it's showing of love. Like, to be grateful is a showing of love. It's a showing of recognition for someone or whatever they've done or who they are for you.
You know, you go through your life for a certain amount of time where you, you know, somebody does something for you and your parents go, what do we say? You say, thank you. Or, you know, somebody does something for your class in grade school and, you know, everybody at once, one, two, three, thank you. It's the whole class. Yeah. It's very, it's trained and it's trained and it's trained. And there's a certain point. And for me, it was probably when I was in high school where somebody did something for me and I stopped for a second and I stopped them and I kind of looked them in the eyes and like, thank you. It becomes different. You have a moment where gratitude suddenly makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it, and you realize you're like, beyond just saying these, beyond just saying the two words, it's different. And it suddenly, like, even for you saying it, it means something totally different. It's, it no longer is an obligation. It's a genuine appreciation.
Definitely. I think
when you make that, it's a moment of maturity when you make that transition, that gratitude transition from, this is a thing that I'm obligated to say when somebody helps me, to, this is a thing I want to tell somebody to show them how much it means to me that they just
did. Yes, something. Totally. It's like a choice. It totally is.
Yes. And, you know, once, I think once it happens the first time, it totally changes somebody's outlook on thank you.
Mm-hmm.
At least it did for me.
Yeah. And it happens every day. I mean,
it happens every day.
So, you know, once we're tuned into it, that's powerful stuff.
Then there's also the sarcastic thanks when somebody totally just screws you over. You're like, oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate that. That was great.
Really appreciate you doing that thing you just did.
Yeah. Vinny, that's awesome. I really appreciate your insights on both your life advice and then, of course, your touching of love and touching of gratitude and how they're really great pathways to living a solid life, living a very happy, love-filled, joyful life. It's always a pleasure anytime I get to talk to you because you have very great thoughts and you tend to relay them very well. And I also, I've said this before to people, but you have good stories and I like people who have good stories because I'm always sketched out when people don't have stories. I'm like, why don't you have stories? Like, yeah, what's going on? Right? Do you do anything? Like, why don't you have stories?
Is it that you don't have stories or that you don't have stories you don't want to tell me? And if you have stories you don't want to tell me, then I'm concerned.
Yeah. Or then maybe our relationship isn't at a point where I want it to be. And then that's noteworthy too.
Yeah, you're like, all right, well, sounds like I got to work on that. Or maybe it's time to reevaluate.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Do you have any other kind of closing thoughts or anything that you want to share or pose or anything like that, Vinny?
I do. I have one more quote. It is the last quote that I kind of guide my life by. Joe, you and I took Latin when we were at Ignatius.
True.
So I'm sure that you're familiar with Marcus Aurelius. Also, if you've seen Gladiator, you're familiar with Marcus Aurelius. Russell Crowe is a fantastic actor. But the real-life Marcus Aurelius has one of the best quotes about being a man. He said, waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one.
It's powerful. That is true, too, because we sit and ponder and we talk about it. Just be one. Marcus Aurelius, always with something. He always comes back, you know? He's one of those guys. He always comes back.
Yep. So, Joe, that's I want to thank you so much. I really have enjoyed doing this. This is fantastic. I love listening to the pod. So
thank you.
I was really grateful when I had the opportunity to be on. I said, let's do this.
Yeah. And I appreciate you hopping on a whim too. Life was slipping away and I'm like, oh my God. And I saw you had voted on my poll that I had put on LinkedIn just saying, hey, does anyone want to hop on? And I was like, this would be perfect. So I reached out and we set something up. Dude, I really am glad that you took the time and chatted with me and hopefully whoever listens too. So I really appreciate you having coming on, Vinny. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a great time. Thanks, Joe.
Absolutely. And anyone who's listening, all the links and things that we've talked about, I will put Vinny's contact information down in the comments if you're on YouTube, but also in the description if you are on the podcast itself. And please subscribe too. I really appreciate you checking out more of the podcast. It's on any of your favorite providers. So head to that link or go to YouTube and you'll be able to check it out there. But I'll also be putting the links for Vinny's music too. So check it out, stream his album, his EP, and let's get him those pennies rolling.
Thanks.
All right, Vinny, this has been another Chats with Clark. Thanks for tuning in. I'm the host, Joe Clark, and we'll see you next time.